League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
ESPN, 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry from Truck Fitters, FM 1960 in Jones Road. If you're in the neighborhood, stop on by. We'll be here till 4 o'clock. Plenty of goodies to be given away, including a drawing that we will have before the end of the show to win a grill guard, and you can have it installed free today only. Any Ranch Hand product purchased today only will be installed free, and our drawing, coincidentally, is for a Ranch Hand grill guard. If you win it today, I believe that qualifies that they will install it for you as well. So get on over here, get some of the freebies from the promo crew, say hello to Barry and myself, and take a shot at winning a grill guard.
Yeah, good luck. Come out. Come say hi.
Why not?
Come see Joel's sexy face. He wore his best tuxedo for the show.
I did. Yeah,
I'm surprised you don't match today. You usually
how
match.
Do I not match? Black. How does that not match?
Point at your hat.
Well, the hat I went to the Astros.
Point at your hat. What hat? What color is the hat?
It's dark blue.
It's a navy with orange, and you've got on red and black and white shorts.
Yep.
I'm disappointed, man.
Okay.
Looked like you just threw this together last minute.
I see that you actually lifted your pant leg and put your socks towards me to show
is how I've been sitting.
You have red and blue Dr. Seuss socks.
You see how that matches?
Going with your
look at that. That is fantastic skills right there. I didn't even need my wife to help me get dressed for a change.
You don't need your wife to pat you on the back either.
They match.
Anyway, go ahead.
I've been thinking about those ugliest uniforms.
Okay.
And I was looking. First of all, the Browns have gotten better, but forever the Browns uniforms have been pretty ugly.
Uh-huh.
But I got to go Jags, and do you know why? Jacksonville Jaguars. The helmets
are
the worst thing in sports, the absolute worst thing. So I think that over those Diamondback uniforms, I don't think they're that bad.
I do.
I really don't. I don't think they look softball-ish at all.
Oh, my God. And I've had so many people on Twitter back me on this.
Really?
But the thing is that, yeah, I mean, it's just – it's over the top with – the gray from top to bottom with the bleed in on the hat and the shoulders of the jerseys and the pink and the teal. Last night, Taiwan, what's his name, the starting pitcher for Arizona, had pink all over his glove. And it's too much. It's like an Arena Football League team instead of a baseball team.
Hater in the house.
Absolutely, and I'll stand by it.
Speaking of, we'll do that in a minute. So someone asked me real quick, hey, Barry, off-topic question. Did you ever have a one-on-one conversation with that one country music station chick you were creeping out, Michelle Rodriguez? First of all, sir, I wasn't creeping her out. You guys were creeping her out, not me. You're the one
who was staring at her through the glass window.
Not while she was looking. Okay, maybe she caught me like two to seven.
How many times
did
y'all make eye contact?
Like maybe seven at the most.
And maybe when you guys made eye contact, were you looking at her first, or was she looking at you first?
Oh, she was totally checking me out.
Strange guy in the studio.
Totally, she was checking me out. I mean, yeah. Dude, you've seen me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're on a remote right now.
No, so I didn't go talk to her, sir. I didn't do that. I'm not going that. I wasn't trying to make it creepier by going around, hey, do you know where Michelle Rodriguez is? I'd like to talk to her. Do you know where she is? I'd like to speak with her. Do you know where she is?
After all the creepy tweets, didn't you think that it was good to at least?
I would have liked to have said, hey, listen, I'm sorry my listeners are a-holes and like to make me look bad and be creepy. I would have been great.
But let me do that on my own. Hi, my name's Barry. Yeah.
No, I'm married. I'm not doing that. I mean, no. They made me look creepy though. That is the one thing I wish I could have gotten back. Speaking of the Jameis Winston stuff, somebody said, is Tom Savage a QB that Deshaun can learn behind the season since he doesn't have much experience? No.
Systematically, maybe some things that he already knows that Deshaun hasn't picked up on yet, but other than that, no.
I mean, dude, from what you've seen so far and the things that you're hearing out, coming out of camp about Deshaun and picking this up, if that's the case, then it doesn't matter. He's already picking it up on his own. Now, maybe Savage is helping him a little. I would be surprised if that's the case since they're both competing for this job. I mean, it's not set. Like, no one's competing with Jameis Winston in Bucs camp. The position battle between Griffin and Fitzpatrick.
Right.
Well, not anymore if Griffin's
out.
No,
I mean, he's out like a month or so, but then Fitzpatrick's your guy.
But, yeah, that so, you know, I don't know that that's the case. There are some situations where you can do that. Most teams do have a veteran quarterback with a younger guy in camp that can learn from. And this is just not one of those cases. They're both learning from Bill O'Brien. God help him.
Quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, God help him. Basketball question. You guys want to talk basketball for a second?
Not me. I hate
it. With this? Nick, you good?
Basketball? Yeah, because Joel hates basketball.
I know.
So the text says, huge Braun fan. What the hell is going on in Cleveland and Kyrie? Does he want out? And what can they get for him? Yeah, he wants out. He said as much.
Yep. I mean, and his old general manager backed it up as well and gave him props for having the balls to come to the table and say, I do want out, you know? So at least there's no guessing on that. He has stated that he wants out.
Yeah, I mean, what they get, I don't know. I know that Boston has shown some interest. There was discussions of should they or would they trade Isaiah Thomas and some picks or some. I think there was three or four names that were dropped, Crowder and some other guys for Kyrie Irving.
Would you do that?
Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
If you're who?
If I'm Boston.
I'm totally with you.
Oh, Kyrie Irving is, to me, Isaiah Thomas has done it for 1 year.
See, I've
without
said this
help,
before.
Mind you.
I've said this before, though. He's the guy that you look at, you give him props for really doing what he does.
Yeah.
But do I consider him a superstar? No. Do I consider him a guy that is the go-to carrier of a team? No. Now, his numbers in the fourth quarter last year were fantastic.
Undeniable.
Led the league.
Yep.
Exactly right. You're undeniable there. But we take a young kid like Kyrie that has – I don't think he's even touched the surface of going to the ceiling of where he could go, and he's got the best handles in the league. Man, I don't know how you go wrong building around him.
Nick,
you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Thoughts,
Kyrie, no, Isaiah Thomas? Would you do that?
Would you do the trade, Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie Irving? I mean, sure, you have to include more with Thomas, like Crowder, a couple of picks. Would you do that if you're the Celtics?
If you're the Celtics, Kyrie, no. I mean, I think you have to include, yeah, you're right. You have to include something more than just Tristan Thompson because Kyrie Irving is a potential leader. I mean, I might, depending on how desperate I am, honestly.
Well, here's the thing, too. Isaiah's coming up. You going to max him?
Yeah, I think you will. You will max Isaiah.
I don't know. When I watch Isaiah Thomas, and maybe I just didn't watch enough Celtics basketball, but I feel like Isaiah Thomas is a better version of someone like Marwin Gonzalez. Having an out-of-his-mind year, hasn't ever really done that before. Gonzalez was good a couple years ago, not great, not like he's having this year. I mean, he's top four in average and OPS and, you know, all these statistical categories now that he qualifies. So you can say he's bona fide a top 10 hitter right now in many statistical categories in baseball. But do you think he can do that every year? With Marwin Gonzalez, no. I think Astros fans are in for a big disappointment next year with Marwin Gonzalez because he's never going to duplicate
more on
this.
That, but
and I think Celtics fans might be in for a big disappointment with Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah's done it for a couple years, but to the level that he did last year was – I think you're dead on in the fact that he probably overachieved a little bit. But when you're looking at what you need to be if you're the Celtics and where you want to go, are you going to he's up at the end of the year, Isaiah Thomas. Is he a max guy? Do you look at him and go, are you making this decision because of fan pressure that, look, you got to maximize this guy because you got to keep him because you can't let him go? Or are you doing it because he's worthy of a max contract? Because I think Kyrie Irving's worthy of a max contract. I'm not sold, like I said, on Isaiah Thomas filling that superstar title and being a guy you build a franchise around.
But, Joel, wouldn't even you say that GMs are kind of they're forced to put in that position where they have to give somebody a max contract? Like, I'm with you. I don't think Isaiah Thomas is necessarily a max contract guy. But you have to give it to them considering the market, don't you?
Yeah, I see, that's the thing, Nick. I think it's a very fine line, you know, because you want to do the right thing for the franchise, but you know if you let a guy that's that popular, that's done some things in recent history for the franchise, and he gets away, then you run the risk of, hey, you didn't want to max him out, you didn't want to do the quote-unquote right thing. But when you look at it from a really hardcore general manager's perspective, you look at it with exactly what I just offered up. Is he a guy you build your franchise around? Is he a guy that you're not worried about? Yeah, he scores in the fourth quarter, but you can isolate that guy. Can he stop anybody? You know, those are the kind of things that when you weigh, can he carry the franchise? Yeah, he can create, but he can create sometimes in the first three and a half. When the fourth quarter, when that middle collapses, and in playoffs, which we said is a different game, there's a different level of efficiency when you talk about Isaiah Thomas.
So statistically, since 2012, here's his points per game. Mm-hmm. 11.5, 13.9, 20.3, his third year in Sacramento. Then 16, 15, 19, 22, and now he averaged almost 29.
So I thought the last 2 years for sure were over 20.
Yeah, he had 22 last year and played in, or 2 years ago, played in all 82 games, and then last year he played in 76 and scored almost 29 a game. But other than that, I mean, his career average is 19.
Yeah.
So, and if,
but again,
you
know, that's good.
3-point percentage, he's averaging 36% from beyond the 3-point line.
You max
steals about one a game. No.
Not mine either.
I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, it's maybe Marvin Gonzalez isn't the perfect comparison because Gonzalez hadn't quite done it, but he's had a couple of good years.
Right.
But he's having an outstanding year. But that's the point, right?
Yeah, the
like,
only
this, I feel like that Celtics fans are in for, or potentially in for, a letdown with Thomas.
Yeah.
It may not happen. He may have turned the corner, and he's going to be great for the rest of his career. But the numbers tell you he averages 19, not 29.
Yeah, the only thing I question about Marwin is he hasn't done it for a couple years.
Well, 2 years ago he had a pretty damn good year.
Yeah, but at the same time, yeah, I just, Nick, to answer your question, I just don't feel comfortable building my franchise around that guy. And when Boston knows what they've been up against and if they're trying to be that long-term solid powerhouse in the East, I think you're better off with Kyrie than you are
with
Isaiah Thomas.
I'm kind of with you. I think he might even be a two, might even a potential number three guy, like in terms of priority on the team, scores offensively. Like, he could potentially even be a three, but he had a great year. And sometimes you're, you know, forced the hand that you don't want to play. You know what I mean?
For sure. Absolutely. All right, if you want to get in on this, and there's more to the story, LeBron, Kyrie, the Cavs, the NBA.
Did you see the back and forth between Kevin Durant and Little Dickie on this subject?
I did not.
I want to read you these tweets. I think Kevin Durant lost.
Okay.
A basketball argument with Little Dickie.
All right, and also arguably one of the best pickup games in America happened the other day, so much so that one player in particular decided to charter a plane so he didn't miss it. We'll talk about that. We can talk about a whole lot more. If there's something on your mind, please give us a call. 713-780-3776. You can also text that number and reach the show or hit us up on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You have choices, Houston. You might as well be listening to us because Mike Fiers has given up a run. Stroh's down 1-0 in the third. But, of course, there's still plenty of time, so you might as well listen to us. You can watch them on TV.
We got some Stroh's questions on the text.
Okie dokie.
By the way, somebody said the Bumblebee Steelers uniforms are horrible. No. We're talking everyday uniforms. Those are throwbacks.
But they are terrible.
But yeah, of course. But, yeah. So someone said, quick question. Why does everyone love to hate Ken Giles? His stats are a lot better than people act like they are. Sure, he's given up some runs, but who hasn't? Not to mention most of the runs came in non-save situations, which is the point I was making. Like, why I do feel like everyone...
I stated why I have on...
I know, but let me ask you this. So I couldn't find... I know he's got the two blown saves, but...
I didn't say he's garbage.
Let's play a game, okay? So the most saves is Colomb out of Tampa Bay. He's got 35. Ken Giles is 11th in the league with 23 saves. Save percentage-wise, I'm going to throw out some numbers, and you tell me if you think it's better or worse. If Ken Giles' save percentage is better or worse than these closers, all right? Mm-hmm. Kenley Jansen of the Dodgers, better or worse? Giles, save percentage-wise.
Worse.
Yes. Kenley Jansen's at 97%, which is ridiculous for having 31 saves.
Yep.
Another big one, Fernando Rodney. Of these Arizona Diamondbacks, better or worse? Yes, correct. He is better. Ken Giles, by the way, has an 88.5% save percentage.
You can see my screen's completely blank right now.
88.5%. That's legit.
For Giles?
Yes. Okay. 88.5%. Last one, Craig Kimbrell, better or worse?
Ooh, he had a couple blown. He had at least one blown recently, so it's a trick question on your part, I think, but I'm gonna say Giles is better.
Yeah, he is. Most people, though, are going to tell you, way is Ken Giles' save percentage better than Craig Kimbrell's.
Right.
It absolutely is.
But the question.
Again, I think it's perception. You know what I mean? Like, when you see the rest of the middle relief in this bullpen collapsing, everyone assumes it's the entire bullpen.
Yeah.
But again, when it's one or two guys, when it's Tony Sipp giving up runs, and that's who's been giving up all the runs, or Liriano comes on board and gives up runs and doesn't do well, but the rest of the bullpen isn't doing bad. Remember, pre-All-Star break, what'd I say, 4.04 ERA for the bullpen? Post-All-Star break, 4.84 or something like that. So you're talking 0.8 runs difference compared to the starters, who's almost 2 runs worse pre- and post-All-Star.
And like I said, I'm not saying he's garbage, and I was happy when they made the move to trade to get him, and I would do it again. But I'm saying I have an uneasy feeling when he comes into games that I don't like, and I expressed why, which is because he puts runners on base. He self-inflicts stressful situations that don't necessarily have to be there, but that's not to say that he's garbage either.
No, he's definitely not.
So
definitely not. And then Cleveland's closer, just by comparison, since those are the big names, we've done Boston,
Dodgers,
Chicago, the Dodgers. Cleveland's closer, Cody Allen, 87.5%.
We know Chapman's had problems a lot lately.
Also below Ken Giles.
Yeah, Chapman's had a lot of problems recently.
Yep. Where is Chapman?
For the Yankees. So
I don't even see him listed. Interesting. And one more Astros question, and then we can move on, that somebody asked early on that I wanted to get to. Is Musgrove proving to be a valuable bullpen arm? And in a game when the starters give you a short outing, how confident are you with Musgrove, Clippard, Harris, Devo, Giles?
I'll say this. I'm very pleased with Musgrove. Coming out of the bullpen, the fact that he has settled into that role nicely, the fact that we've talked about that transition and how it's difficult for a starter sometimes to figure out how you got to be ready in a moment's notice in the pen. Musgrove, since he's went to the pen, I have a lot more confidence in him.
Okay.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I do. He's pitching better, but I don't think he's one of those guys you're going to see come playoff time.
Well, that's a different question, right? Do you have confidence in him now?
That was the question.
Was it playoffs, or was it just
how confident are you, assuming Peacock stays the starter, how confident are you for a starter short outing for Musgrove, Clippard, Harris, Devo, Giles? And you're
regular
leaving
season,
out Gregerson.
I'm comfortable.
You're leaving out Gregerson. Yeah, I don't know if I want Musgrove being in the mix for one of the, you know,
for the playoffs, different story.
Six through nine innings.
And take everything that you said and throw it out the window. He doesn't have any playoff experience. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any big game playoff experience, whether he's starting or coming out of the pen. That's why I would question it more than anything else when we're talking about playoffs.
Yep. I don't even, like I said, I think he might be one of those guys that you'll see as a extended middle relief guy if the starters falter. In the playoffs.
Don't you also feel like if the starters falter and your first line of defense is either tired because you've utilized them in the case
like
of a Peacock, right?
Yeah.
Or a Devo.
And I used to throw fires in there, but man, he's regressing to the mean, as I always mention. He's coming back
today,
down to what he is.
It wasn't a home run to give up the run.
Well,
he's down 1-0 right now.
But yeah, I have a feeling, I think you're anticipating getting 5 innings out of every starter. And so if you could do that, you need to look at filling innings 6 through 9, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to work backwards, 9 is Giles, 8 is Gregerson, 7 is Harris, right?
Assuming he's healthy.
Yeah. So now you've got the 6th inning. Who's that guy? Is it Devinsky? Is it Clippard? I tend to believe it's Clippard.
I do too.
That's why you went and got him. And Devinsky is your first arm out of the pen for long relief.
He is your
high leverage situation.
He's your specialist.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be a tough, got to get out of a bases loaded, nobody out situation, or a long relief, as you mentioned.
But when, of all the guys in the bullpen that hasn't, no one is going, man, I just don't trust him, Devinsky hasn't pitched well lately.
After the All-Star
break. And everyone's giving him a pass.
Right.
But I don't. When I see him coming in now, my trust factor in Devinsky is a lot lower than it used to be.
I can see why, because the fact that again that now that guy, I will definitely chalk it up to a tired arm too, because everybody felt like in every situation. I think Hinch started feeling like that too. I can go to Devo and it's a slam dunk. We're out of it. And I think that he got overused a little bit. The circle of death hasn't been biting as much and diving as much and getting guys out as easily as it has been, because I don't think he's had command of it as much as he had in the first half of the season. But I still trust him more because of what his track record has done for this team.
Was it Blummer that came up with Circle of Death? Because that's hilarious.
And he calls it the COD.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Fantastic. And we want to wrap up the Cavs stuff?
Yeah.
So you said that there was a little conversation going on between KD and Lil Dicky?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So apparently Lil Dicky made a tweet out there on Twitter land where he said, if I'm Cleveland, I'm 1,000% trading LeBron. And we can all, well, you know, you and I and Nick will give our opinion on that. But I wanted to, so the conversation went something like this. That was Lil Dicky's tweet. If I'm Cleveland, I'm 1,000% trading LeBron. To which Durant replied, you can't trade a legend. He is Cleveland. He gets to hold the cards. Lil Dicky, he did it. They won. If I'm him, I despise Gilbert for a variety of reasons. If I'm Gilbert, I'm getting something back this time. He's gone. Durant, I feel what you're saying. Most owners think that way, but then you realize it's LeBron James. To which Lil Dicky replied, I know, not easy. His love for Cleveland got them one, but his warranted disdain for ownership is going to cost them another, so I blow it up before he does. And then Durant's last bit was, last time he left, they got like 3 number one picks. So either way, they are good, LOL. So it's almost like he was adamant about no, but then at the end he's like, well, either way. I feel like he kind of, okay, you've made a valid point.
But is it all a moot point because LeBron's got a no trade? He can veto anything.
Yeah, well, he can also waive it.
So he does hold all the cards, right? Unless he waives it, he holds all the cards. Because if they want to trade him, they got to get his approval. Otherwise, he's not going anywhere, and he walks at the end of the year.
Well, if Kyrie Irving leaves, you think LeBron, if he had an opportunity to go?
But I'm just saying, in that the context of that conversation, they're talking about a whole bunch of stuff where unless he waives his no trade,
if LeBron had the opportunity to go to Boston or
Lakers,
well, OKC,
right.
The Rockets, if Melo comes, and you know what I mean, they can figure something out. I think he would waive that with no Kyrie Irving there, no other help in Cleveland. Now, it depends on what they get back. You know what I mean? If that move gets made with New York, for example, and Melo decides to go to Cleveland, then maybe they make another move and Kyrie and LeBron stays. But if LeBron's it, I think he would seriously consider a trade.
You would think, just simply because, again, his desire to win and kind of put himself in that elite category, trying to catch Michael in so many ways that he said is driving him, that factors in. He wants to win every year. But ironically or not, with the stories that are coming out, Cleveland saying that every deal that they're looking at and exploring for Kyrie is involving a mindset that LeBron will be gone at the end of the year, to which some media sources are trying to dispel that. But you got to believe that there's got to be some truth there. And so that they're trying to get whatever they get for Kyrie starts with a young player they can build around. The Celtics conversations, I believe, involved the kid they just drafted from Duke, amongst other people, even if they got an Isaiah Thomas. So that's out there. But, you know, you just got to kind of wait and see. But if you're Cleveland, I think you got to go in with the mindset that you can't feel comfortable, because the other story is out there that LeBron and Dan Gilbert have passed the point of no return, that there's no mending the fences and fixing the relationship. They're done. So that's why LeBron's going to leave.
Yeah.
So those are things to consider as we move on. We can talk baseball, basketball, football, or so much more. We've got a full list, but if there's something on your mind, feel free to contribute to the show. 713-780-3776. Text, call, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspect, ESPN97.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. We continue to roll on after the halftime break as we are back for much more. 90 minutes to go in the big show. So if you want to join us, please do. 713-780-3776. Text us, call us, hit us up on Twitter. We are here.
Come to Truck Fitters.
Yeah, we are at Truck Fitters.
Some drink to Truck Fitters.
FM 1960, just off of Jones Road. Great bunch of guys here. Lots of great products. If you're looking for anything for your truck, for your SUV, they got it here for you. They even got a large selection of Yeti, both coolers.
I really want that hat.
Thermoses. Well, I think you could probably work it out with these guys.
The hat, the thermoses. We're sitting in front of probably $8 million worth of Yeti equipment. They've got a ton of
coolers
Yeti stuff.
Are badass.
Good prices, too. If you need a Yeti, you need to get out here. Stop being stupid. Like, this is
Stop
all.
Stop thinking it's a Star Wars character.
There's a what?
A Yeti?
There's a, all right.
You got it.
I did. Actually, wasn't there a...
I don't know. I'm not that big into Star Wars. I will let you know that I've signed up for
both of the leagues now,
so you can be happy.
I think that... Oh, did you sign up?
I'm in now.
Oh, whose fault was it? What? No, whose fault was it?
So I was talking about LeBron, and we were talking about the Cavaliers.
Nick. Yo, Nick. I think we figured out what the problem was with Joel signing up for the
What was the problem?
Leagues. The problem was Joel.
The problem, Nick, was
I wasn't surprised
that I was adding it, but that I hadn't signed in on ESPN.
Right. So he just wanted them to magically know who he was and join the leagues.
With my Apple computer, normally they remember passwords and they automatically sign in. So it didn't in that
like
regard.
Like I said.
But okay, I'll take it. I'll take the L because that's what you guys give me every day.
Have you ever seen a Yeti cooler that big? I've never seen like those. That's like a...
Oh, yeah. We saw Clarence Denton Rufo one.
Oh,
right,
is that...
Right,
oh,
Nick?
That's the one that he sat on?
Yeah, it was the big... Yeah. It was you're talking about the big white one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one that he sat on.
Careful in these trying times, Nick. But
those
yeah.
are those are huge. I need to get me one of those, too. Oh, if they came with a hat, maybe I'll get one.
Definitely durable.
Wink, wink, hey.
No, I'm not like you, Joel. I don't expect a handout.
Not expect.
No?
You're gonna see, you put that on me.
I know. I put everything
I learned from
you.
The best, man. You got to remember who I worked with over the years.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen people better. I always kid and say Calvin Murphy's slogan has always been, if it's free, it's me, I'll take three. Yeah. Salisbury used that today. But forget Calvin Murphy. I worked with some of the best at manipulating the system.
I believe it. I've always, people have offered us things, and we get a ton of free beer from the Kilted Beer Man and the beer guys, and I've gotten the Dr. Pepper guy brought me some Dr. Pepper, which was awesome, and I certainly don't turn it down, but I've always felt weird just asking for stuff, for people just to give me stuff just because of, I'm a radio guy or I'm a comedian. It's always just kind of felt strange.
Well, there's a huge difference between asking and people giving.
Right.
Right. Like,
but some people don't care. They'll ask you.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. So I worked with guys, and I remember being really, really young in the business and just trying to learn. And I won't name names, but I'm sure you'll pick it up.
Okay.
But so we were in the playoffs.
Playoffs.
And we were going to play golf on an off day.
Okay.
And so normally you pick
up Bill Worrell.
Nope. I know. First of all, I knew it. It wouldn't take long for you to start guessing.
Okay.
But let me do the story and you'll figure it out.
All right.
So Worrell's with us. All the broadcasters were all going. And there's a new course. They're not even really open to the public, but they're going to let us play. Right? So we play. Great course. Great time. We come in. And Worrell and Foley have explained to me, look, part of the deal is if they're taking care of us, at the end of the day, we should buy something from the pro shop as a kind of a thank you.
Right.
For taking care of us.
Right.
I'm totally good with that. I walk in. I'm looking at the hats and things. Worrell and Foley are shopping around. And I hear, isn't there a sales table anywhere around here? And I was like, they're not even open yet. He goes, I know that. But if I say it loud enough, they might comp that too, or at least give me a discount. And I was wow. This was my indoctrination to the life of a professional broadcaster. I was like, are you kidding
me? Peterson.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I just know that I lived it. I lived it. Let's just say that. I was just taken back. And, Foley was like, just go buy what you got to buy, Joel. Let's get out of here. And that was it. So We were done.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a good
all this
time.
Free stuff, backing it in my truck. Yeah, I could see that.
Fun times back in the day, man.
It's always been like that. That's always weird to me, although, that people could do that. I just couldn't.
Granato and the guys got rings today.
Well, but I'm sure Granato was like, hey, make me a ring and bring it to me. You know what I mean? Like, Granato's
not that guy. He's not asking for it.
And nor is Sean. But I'm saying, yeah, there's a difference. I always appreciate the hell out of it when we get free beer or free whatever.
I'm with you.
But there are some people with, they don't care. They're just like, hey, let me get one of those, man. Let me have one of those things for free. That's just weird. Where was it? Did you guys see that D-Wade wants a buyout?
Yeah.
You think he'd join the Rockets? Then we'd get Melo and LeBron and could join us next year. Hashtag Banana Boat Brothers.
First of all, there's two banana boats. I need to be clear about that. But first of all, there's no guarantee you got Carmelo.
Right.
Because for whatever reason, whether it be the new management in New York or the fact that the Knicks now want Ariza and or Capella or both, it's not a slam dunk that Carmelo is a member of your team yet. If he was, would it help? Sure. But I think short term, if D-Way is bought out, he'll go with his best friend first and he'll go to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And he'll do it for a year. And then he'll play it by ear with where LeBron goes. And where LeBron goes, D-Wade could go and follow LeBron for the end of his career, chasing one more. So that would be my guess before I would say the Rockets.
Okay. Somebody said it was Yoda. I think that's what we
– I know
that was
Yoda.
The joke.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. And then somebody else said that in reference to the Yeti and what would you say, Star Wars or whatever, There was a snow monster on the ice planet in Empire Strikes Back. That might be as close to a Yeti.
Again,
yeah,
exactly where I was leading them down the path.
You know what happens when you mention Star Wars? The nerds freak out, and then they start having to overcompensate.
Well, then they do podcasts about it. Oh, that's just at our station.
Yeah. It's a good podcast, by the way.
John,
I'm not a huge comic book dork.
Comic-Con guys.
But what is it called? I got to look it up. But Jong and Michael Carroll have a podcast on comics.
Yep.
And they talk Game of Thrones. They talk comics. But I'm just now getting into like Marvel and DC and stuff. But it's a good listen, man. They do a really good job on that podcast. If you're into comic books at all, you need to check that out. Somebody said, Barry, is it an unspoken rule that only black comedians can tell race jokes? I've never seen white comedians tell race jokes. First of all, watch Neil Brennan. That's not true. Second of all, come to the Tuesday open mic at the Improv, and you would have seen me do 5 minutes of jokes about race. And yes, I did them the week following Charlottesville, because I feel like that with all the bad stuff that's going on, we still need to be able to talk about it and make jokes about it. And so, yeah, I mean, trust me, there are plenty of white comedians that do racial humor. Plenty. Neil Brennan being one of them. Ralphie May does it. Who else? Gary Owens. Those are names. I mean, I'm not trying to include me with them. I'm just saying Tuesday.
I do.
Shut up. Tuesday I did a bunch. And I'll be honest, I was nervous.
Really?
I'm not going to lie. 2 weeks ago I did those jokes, didn't think twice.
That was like after 9/11. Was it Gilbert Gottfried that did it?
At a roast.
Yeah, at a roast.
And just, it was the best thing that could have happened, the way he pulled it off. But you got to be really good.
Yeah, and you got to be confident. It was a little uncomfortable early.
Yeah. But it happens, man. That's definitely not an unwritten rule. The difference is sometimes you get young comics that don't know how to do it.
Uh-huh.
Don't know what the line is. And this is black or white or whatever, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter. But younger comics usually don't know how to do it and pull it off without offending people. Because there's a difference between just trying to tell a joke that's offensive and telling a joke that's funny. Mm-hmm. But both can be about race. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, and by the way, I wanted to wrap up. The big pickup game I was talking about happened in New York City the other day.
Uh-huh.
To wrap up basketball. KD was playing. Carmelo was playing. A lot of all-stars were playing. And LeBron heard about it, but he was in the midst of his charity weekend in Cleveland. Charters a plane, flies to New York, plays for 2 hours, charters the plane back, and is there for the nighttime session of the charity event outside and with a huge crowd. So that's how much he wanted to play in a pickup game. Must be nice.
It must be nice to be able to charter
that's
a plane
what I'm saying.
For 2 hours.
What is that, like 10, 20 grand just to go play pickup ball?
Man.
Pocket change. Right now, I'm going to tell you guys about the good people at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you over and over again. Mac and his staff have been in business here in Houston for over 36 years, and they have no plans of stopping anytime soon. That's why they now have three convenient locations across the Houston area. Grand Parkway between Sugar Land and Katy, right there in the heart of the Galleria, Westheimer and Post Oak. And, of course, the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where it's not just a saying, it's a way of life. They really are going to save you money. And if you buy today, you get it tonight. That's just how they like to do business. Because they want you to be return customers, because for as long as you're in Houston, they want you to think Gallery when you think furniture. Right now they're doing a promotion with the Astros where if the Astros win it all, you get it all. That means if they beat the team from the other league in the final series of the year, you get your bedroom furniture free, as long as you spend $3,000 or more on adjustable base, Tempur-Pedic, Macro-Pedic sleep sets, etc. Check galleryfurniture.com for all those details. But overall, if you have furniture needs, there's only one place you should be thinking about, and that's Gallery Furniture. Because you buy it, and within 3 to 4 hours, they deliver it to your door. If you need the people that are delivering it to move some furniture, get rid of it, get some things out of the way, take care of some business for you while they're there. They'll do it because they believe in service after the sale. Gallery is the best, and they continue to do so here in the Houston area. As Mac likes to say, and it's, again, not a marketing slogan, it's a way of life, Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. I see you there. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the boys are back. Barry and Joel from Truck Fitters, FM 1960 Jones Road. As we continue to tell you, if there's anything you need for your truck or your SUV or you're just jonesing, see what I did there? For Yeti coolers or Yeti thermoses or things like that, there's only one place to go, and that is Truck Fitters. These guys are all over the place. They've had way too much caffeine. They can't slow down here in the store. They constantly are rushing to the door to help you when you walk in, and they're making sure that they service your vehicle with the utmost care. If you want to win a grill guard, I'm telling you, you should buy one anyway if you got an SUV or a truck. But if you want to win one, today is your lucky day. You come in between now and 4 o'clock. We're going to have a drawing for a ranch hand grill guard. And by the way, today only, coincidentally, if you buy a grill guard, a ranch hand grill guard, they will install it for free just today. So you got to get in here. Truck Fitters, FM 1960, and Jones Road. Spoiler alert, Barry, I know that there was a problem yesterday on the Blitz because people were trying to play spoilers for Game of Thrones. They had seen the illegally
downloaded version.
Yeah. Fred was deleting them and banning them.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
That's great.
Yeah, because they were trying to get it in. Well, here's your spoiler alert for Hard Knocks, as I believe this will probably be a topic next week.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers, as we mentioned, play the Jags tonight in Jacksonville. Well, last night, they all went out for dinner because it's a tradition in the Tampa Bay franchise that the rookies have to take out the offensive linemen. So they hit up Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Traditions call for rookies at each position to foot the bill for their group. As you can imagine, things got a little dicey when the bill showed up for the offensive linemen and two rookies, Corin Kervin and Cole Gardner, were left with a tab of over $26,000.
Damn.
I would think that their facial expressions alone will be priceless in the next episode of Hard Knocks. Now, thankfully, the joke was on them. The linemen, after laughing and burping and digesting, broke the secret to them that the dinner only cost $3,000.
I tell you what, have you ever eaten at Ruth's Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Getting a $26,000 bill wouldn't surprise me. I took my wife there for Valentine's one time, and I was like, damn, I love you, but I don't know if this was the right thing to do.
For the most part, a lot of the steakhouses are like that.
Yeah. You want more spoiler alert? If you're taping the Astros game to watch it when you get home,
which
if you're DVRing it,
okay,
don't listen. Mike Fiers has given up another home run.
One was inside the park.
Yeah, so Descalso hit an inside-the-park home run in the fourth. He gave up a run in the third, and now in the sixth, Lamb is homered. It's 3-0 Diamondbacks. Astros have two hits.
I was going to say, on the flip side, at least – you can't blame Fiers.
Yeah, Corbin is two hits so far through five. And I'm looking at the Astros rotation and I'm thinking it's probably time. You know, earlier they planned on moving Fires to the bully and then there was an injury.
Yeah.
So they couldn't. And that's when he turned it around. That's when he went on his run. But I think it's time to revisit that idea, especially when McCullers gets back, which I think they will, because right now your rotation in order is Keuchel, McHugh, Morton, Peacock, Fires. So
assuming McCullers does well in his bullpen session today.
Yep. Thank goodness you'll get to slide Fires down to a relief pitcher and slide in, you know, McCullers into that mix, and hopefully that'll make things all better. But, yeah, not good in his last three outings. He's given up 6, 4, and 6, and then so far 3 through 5 today. No, 3 through 6, excuse me.
Yeah, so.
Not looking good for Mike Fires.
Hopefully he a late
turned it
rally.
Around, but he's,
a late rally. Do you predict a 4-3 Astros victory?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Is that because Fires is going to give up a few more?
It's, yeah. I have, yeah.
I'm not mad
unless
at
they're,
you.
Unless they're in the middle of a pitching change right now, which then there might be hope. Are you, I know we talk power rankings, but after the Ezekiel Elliott suspension, ESPN dropped their updated power rankings, and the Cowboys fell, but only fell really one spot.
This is kind of like, we haven't talked power rankings per se. We talked about the Vegas and the odds on games.
So ESPN's power rankings.
Okay.
Number one, duh, New England Patriots.
Sure.
Two is the Falcons.
I question that.
Three is the Seahawks.
I hate them.
Four is the Steelers, and five is the Packers. They had the Packers falling from third to fifth.
They haven't played a game yet.
Yeah. But with Ezekiel Elliott getting suspended, they had the Cowboys falling from fifth to sixth in the power rankings. I just, if you're going to, if you feel like it's going to affect them, and he's missing six games, surely you would think that the slide would be more than just a slot.
Yeah, you
right?
I would totally agree with that. And, you know, the thing is not to go all Nick Saban on you, because I think we can here, but the power rankings in the preseason mean absolutely nothing to me. Not that they mean so much more during the regular season, but it's hard to take a team and move them anywhere until they play a regular season game.
Right, unless you have...
No, I understand from the Cowboys
If Tom Brady
right.
gets hurt,
right.
Are you leaving the Patriots at number one in the power rankings? Hell no.
Right.
The Cowboys lose their starting running back, leading rusher last year, for six games, and they slide from five to six. So that either means that whoever's doing the power rankings feels like McFadden and Morris...
Are going to hold their own.
...are as good as what Elliott would give you, save for a game or two.
At least you're running behind the same offensive line.
That's true. I don't know. I found that to be a little bit interesting, because if you're one spot, I mean, why move them then? What do you really think?
I agree with that. I don't agree with moving from third to fifth. But that's a different story all in itself.
Do you know why they moved the pack from three to five?
No.
One of the biggest question marks of camp so far has been Mason Crosby's accuracy in the kicking game. Maybe Packers need to go out and get Aguayo.
He already signed with the Bears.
I know. On the surface, that might sound like small potatoes, but keep in mind Crosby's leg saved the Packers last postseason with multiple late 50-yard field goals.
And again, they haven't played a regular season game yet. It'll be all right.
Okay. I guess we should tell where the Houston Texans, your fighting Houston Texans, are 14th.
What do they have them going through the season?
Fell from 11 to 14. They don't have the record. They don't have a record prediction. They just have last year's record.
And our predictions don't come out till right before the first game.
That's right. Is that when we're doing it?
Sure.
Okay, because I haven't done any prep for that yet. So I thought you were about to surprise me with it. I was going to freak out. I also have the CBS and ESPN power rankings for baseball.
Okay.
And your Astros are tumbling in those as well. We can talk that. We can talk the all MLB surprise team.
I know one guy on it.
Yep. And we can also talk, and I heard John and Sean mentioning this, but do you think is Aaron Judge still MVP in the MVP race for you? We could, you know.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Because you're the numbers guy. But I know some of them aren't so good since the All-Star break.
Nope.
Just because he hits long home runs. And there's another guy, by the way, hitting long home runs every single night that's climbing up the MVP race as well. All right, we got plenty more to get to, and we've still got plenty of time on the clock. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. You can text or call that number. You can hit us on Twitter, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.